Today's reading is from Exodus 15:22 to 16:3, and this is on page 44 of your church Bibles. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They travelled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink, so they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as their standard, to test their faithfulness to him. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." After leaving Marah, the Israelites travelled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. Between Elim and Mount Sinai, they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained only about Moses and Aaron. "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Julietta. And thank you, Mike, for those prayers. Exceptional. Lovely. Thank you. Well, it's good to be with you, and I have a confession to make. This sermon has been a real struggle. I nearly contacted Julie actually during the week and said, you know, let's just listen to some music or some wise old guru on YouTube or a Scott repeat episode, anything, you know. A friend asked me what I was preaching on this week, and I said, wilderness. And they said, how's it going? I said, wilderness. Now, how many of you would say that you've experienced or are experiencing a season of wilderness? Come on. Think back on your many years, some of us. Come on, yeah, you're right. What words come to mind in those times? What do you feel and experience? Sorry? Helpless. Thank you. Desolate, did you say? Desert place.
Deprivation.
Despair. A lot of D words. Despair, yeah.
Loveliness.
Loneliness. You're coming to the end of my sermon now. Thank you. Loneliness, yeah.
How can I respond?
Sorry, hang on. Whoa. Coming, think back. Isolation, thank you, yeah. Thirst.
Hurt.
Exhaustion, vulnerability, big words. Sorry? Nothingness. Sorry? Loss. Okay, well, just, yeah, thank you. Fear. You can share during coffee. Have a wilderness moment. Thank you for all those. Yeah, in fact, you've come up with all the words that I thought or hoped, if we're being real, that you might have come up with. Thank you. Mercifully, in my week of wilderness, regarding this sermon and other things, there have been oases, if you like, where gift of sweet water, bread from heaven. And on the screen now, you'll see one such gift was meeting this guy last week in the cathedral. Piers is an artist and community worker based at a Guildford church. his creative work comes out of his ministry and his service. And this is his latest work, which was commissioned at a service there last week, Unending Love, it's called. And it'll be there on display in the cathedral for a while. He prays, as he was talking with me, he says he prays that this work will help others to experience for themselves the story of God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. That's why he calls it unending love. And like him, many of us who say yes every day to widening the scope of God's mercy and love. Widening the scope. That mercy we experience ourselves through Jesus. We embrace God's world because we now are being held ourselves, embraced in the love of God, unending love. So after writing that, and seeing that, and meeting Piers, I thought, well, that's fine, that's the sermon sorted, I ventured forth. Inspiration would work and would flow. Well, did it? Heck, no. But I have to say, this piece, Piers himself, they stayed with me, and there I think there is a message. In those words there on the board, we can discover. In all that represents, in terms of life experience and feelings, we can discover the unending love of God shaping the wilderness experience. And that's when my next oasis popped into view, mercifully, thank you. I'm the sort of person who gets inspiration, dare I say, hearing God's still small voice. Not always, if ever, from sitting in a book-laden study. It may shock some of you. But often, I get inspiration from being surrounded by people. Coffee shops are good places for me. Yes, there are distractions, of course there are, but God turns up in the sharing with others, observing what is happening around me, just being there. One time I remember I was in Costa sitting desperately trying to think what God was wanting me to share in a sermon I had to preach somewhere or other. And a song played on the background as it does in these places, you know? And one line came out, popped out, and stuck in my head. And it gave me the key into the scripture passage that I was wrestling with and the direction of travel that was needed. So this week I sat for a couple of hours soaking up the ambience of the warm hub and the big table community, as I call it, downstairs. And the word blessing popped into my head. I think someone said bless you to someone. And that is what I was witnessing downstairs. A ministry of serving blessing to whoever turns up. And again, as we look at those words, the wilderness can be the place where God's children are shaped by unending love to be blessing. Remember this last time I was here? Thank you. Apologies for another summary, but it helps, I think. God's six-act drama, the story that we are part of. God's plan A, Adam and Eve, was paradise lost. God's plan B, to restore everything through the obedience and trust of one man and a boat, was a total washout. So plan C, God's rainbow covenant of unending love and mercy, expressed in and through a people, beginning with Abraham, in all, through all, for all. So what is being said here to Abraham, as I shared the other week, is what forms the very essence of God's story, taking us through the Old Testament and into the New. God is in effect saying to Abraham, you will be a blessing to others. Not you just receiving a blessing, but you and your children and your children's children, you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is Plan C. And that's what it's all about. God says to Abraham, faithful old Abraham, I'm going to try to convey all the well-being and hope and peace and joy I have to give to the world through one special people. And that people will be the people I give the world through you. Thank you. And so we come, as Scott introduced it last time, to the wilderness, being freed, exit. That's what Exodus, that literally means, exit. I mean, if you're in Greece or Cyprus or somewhere and you're driving along the motorway, you see Exodus. It reminds you all the time that, you know, Exodus, that's an exit, that's an exit. And we're looking now at the journey through one of the most isolating, deprived, exhausted, it's all up there, isn't it? Goodness, you know, one a barren place. A journey that even without sat-nav should take about 14 days, give or take, takes 40 years. A hard time for all concerned. But we cannot separate it from what God promised in and through faithful Abraham. It is a vital part still, however much. It is still part of the story of God's unending love and blessing. Hold on to that. His mercy will follow us. It is a vital part of God's story. And in fact, if you look at Scripture, you will see that God does his best work with people there. It's a hard one to sort of take on board, really, isn't it? But if you look at it, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, Elijah, you know, of the still small voice fame, where did it come from? In the wilderness. The prophets, John the Baptist, Jesus, Saul becomes Paul, where? In the Arabian desert. And so it goes on. And I would say in my own experience, and maybe some of you would say the same, that some of our wilderness experiences have been times of renewal and fresh encounter with God and myself. Times when, in the words of Hosea, we're taken into the wilderness to be wooed by God, basically. I'm with Walter Brueggemann, the Old Testament theologian, when he says, the narrative of faith is a journey through wilderness. This means that for people of faith, wilderness is a journey we take with God. Wilderness is the part of our faith journey that in fact shapes and stretches the very faith we proclaim. And I think that says it all about the wilderness wanderings. If you want to meet with God, if you want your faith shaped and stretched, if you need to return to your first love, then head for the wilderness. You may say, I don't have to head for it, Mark, in my minute, it just happens. Yeah, that's true. Or if you think you're there already, can I encourage you to know that you are not alone? You are not alone. You're really not. And maybe, just maybe, I'm saying it to myself as much as I'm saying it to anyone else, it can become the place to discover afresh God's unending love and blessing. So why is the wilderness the place where faith is shaped and stretched? Next one, thank you. It's the phrase that popped into my head. I've read it somewhere. I can't think, but I did try and find it. Wilderness is where we learn to see and walk in the dark. So with all those who have said yes to living out the wonderful, unending love and widening mercy of God, we can discover that wilderness is something God calls us into and is present in. Yes, even in all these times, these wildernessy words that we've got up here that express how we've felt about him. God is with his people. And even in those times, we can experience fruitfulness and growth. It's where we learn something that is vital to who we are and what we are called to be. It's where we learn to see and walk in the dark, where we are encouraged, often, I would have to say, probably most times, with the presence and help of others, to see where the glimmers of light are. It's where we learn to trust and obey, to comfort with the comfort we have been comforted. Words of Paul, which are actually they're sort of words that are used in John's Gospel for the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside, the Paraclete. Where we learn how to see in the dark so we can help others to see in the darkness. You know, I'm not, those who know me won't be surprised by this, I'm not really a fan of what I call full solar Christianity. Sunny side up all the time, where everything seems to be or has to be, come what may, light and happiness. And wilderness then becomes really, well, your fault. My lack of faith or whatever. That's not real life. It's not even biblical. Yes, we may have issues relating to faith and trust, though whether they cause wilderness or exacerbated because of it, discuss. Part of the wilderness for me these past weeks is, of course, what is happening on the world stage. I don't know if it messes with your head, it does with mine. Suffice to say that when we see Herod and Pilate getting together over Ukraine, then I feel anxious for the future. Sorry if that upsets anybody, but I think I've talked about it before. So as people of faith, beloved in Christ, we need to ensure our faith is robust, is deep, is able to be part of God's answer. A sunny Christianity is a consumer, God in my own image form of Christianity. It's vacuous, it's empty, and in the world, and in the end of the day, it lets injustice and evil triumph. Another part of our wilderness these past few weeks, for Cheryl and myself, is our non-functioning boiler. How long have you got? it does actually function, we've discovered, but only when the weather outside is warm. So yeah, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? What use to anyone is a faith that only works in the sunny times? Can you tell me that? What use to it? What use? No use to anyone. Delusion. It needs a new boiler and it needs a new pump. That's wilderness work. Wilderness, yes, even darkness, are a vital aspect of our Christian story. A constant, sunny, victorious spirituality does not adequately equip anyone to see and walk with a God who yearns to meet us where we are and lead us into the freedom and service of unending love and blessing. Next one, thank you. And wilderness, of course, is not only where we learn to walk and see in the dark, but it's where we learn to be blessing. It's a tough place. I mean, and it was hard. I have a sort of soft spot for the people of Israel, actually, because I think 40-year delayed gratification plays havoc with faith. I think it really does. net result, as we heard in our reading, there was a lot of complaining. It's a good word in the Greek Old Testament, is skogousmos. It's a sort of, you know, grumbly, sort of rebellious sort of word, you know, this undercurrent of mutiny going on all the time. But the reality is that it took 40 years, and some never arrived at their destination. Others discovered that they had a return ticket. 40 years to let go of Egypt, actually, where lives were controlled by raw power, shaped by a culture of cruelty, greed, exploitation, anxiety, and fear, where everyone there worshipped the golden calves of busyness and money. Yes. Egypt did offer, though, an insecure security in a funny sort of way. They knew where they were, these people. There was a sort of form of safety, regularish sort of meals, you know. Then suddenly life changes as they find themselves being taken on a journey into risky freedom as children of a pilgrim God. Goodness sake, God with them night and day, setting his people free to be in a relationship that becomes more about trusting than transaction, more about giving than getting, service than self-preservation. You know, promised land living is hard work, folks. It's risky and it takes a bit of reshaping, reforming and renewing, basically a new boiler and a new pump. But meeting with God out in the wild was about embedding them deeper into who they were called to be, the blessed to be a blessing. It's why the Holy Spirit we read in Mark's Gospel, and Mark is always on the move, everything happens very quickly. Mark, we read, when Jesus was baptized in the wilderness by John the Baptist, he was then, the word is, ekbalo, you know, you've got this idea, he was literally chucked out into the wilderness. Didn't have time to do anything else. Don't sit in a church and pray or anything. Nope, out you go. Get it tested. Get it embedded. Become who you are. Who you were called to be. Yes, we will find, as Rob and I were chatting about it earlier, you will find out next time, they will hear and receive God's law, God's wisdom. I've described it as the operating manual for Plan C, if you like, on how to be the human beings God intended. But they need to know first who they are. You cannot bless unless you know from the depths that you are loved and blessed, that you are saved and being saved, that you are free and learning to live in that freedom. Being accepted and loved comes before law. An unending love and blessing in the dark places is the context where we learn to trust and obey. Otherwise, it's simply a hard time and not good news at all. C.S. Lewis said something like, being made good comes out of being loved from a cross. Well, that's it, really. Next one, thank you. In the wilderness, we encounter the one who in Jesus will not be separated from us ever. And it's there where we are formed to become God's blessing. Wilderness is basically where God's mission is birthed. So we receive bread and wine, those tangible, living, cross-shaped signs of unending love and blessing, bread from heaven. And wherever you are at the moment, just say yes and allow yourself to be loved and renewed by God's Spirit in Jesus as people of blessing in God's world. Emmanuel, God is with us. Whoever, wherever, whatever, for as long as it takes, and for all the way.